It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sorry, me and Sean are having a conversation that is, I'm lecturing him. I'm being like a father figure to him because I love Sean. And I'm like, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You know, maybe you should do this next time. You know, personal life stuff. I'm giving him advice.
Yeah. And he's like, go scratch.
Yeah, he told me to go scratch. I was like, listen, when your wife asks you, how does this look? You don't break it down. You just say, it's fantastic.
And when you go to IKEA, try not to cry.
That was a long time ago. I've learned my lessons from that. Well, the New York Jets had a wonderful, wonderful Thursday night. I was trying to pinch myself throughout the night because it didn't feel real watching that incredible offense, watching that incredible defense, that awesome pass rush. And we talk about it with a guy who was also in the building last night. He joins us the day after every Jet game. So mostly it's Monday calls, but with a Thursday night game, it's a special Friday appearance by the great Joe Beningo. And his call is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here by Approved Oil. Lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com and by H.L. Gross Jewelers of Garden City. How awesome was that, Joe?
You know, it's just, like you said, you know, you're pinching yourself. You can't believe it. I mean, here's the thing about this game. There was never a moment in this game where I felt the Jets were not winning this football game. I mean, this was total, utter domination. They had the ball all night long. You know, even when Zuerlein missed the field goal at halftime, I didn't care. I mean, they're up 14-3. I'm like, it doesn't really matter. You know, if he's going to miss a field goal, this was the time to do it. And I mean, you know, so that's how confident I was. Just watching this quarterback, I mean, this guy is unbelievable. You know, we haven't seen, I'm trying to think, the last time that I've seen quarterback play like this. And forget Ryan Fitzpatrick or, you know, Sanchez, and I love Sanchez, but, you know, even Pennington, you know, even Vinny. I mean, this guy just dissects the defense. I mean, the quick throws, everybody's involved offensively. Now he's getting out of the pocket a little bit. He had a couple nice runs, you know, first down runs, you know, and all of that. I mean, showing a little mobility. He's changed everything, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, he's changed everything.
The biggest thing that you said there that I don't think I was expecting was how comfortable he looked running.
Yeah.
And then he was able to do it and then, I don't know, fake the defense out that he was actually going to try to run for first downs and then find somebody behind him. That's vintage Aaron Rodgers. The only thing you worry about is him taking hits. That one late hit out of bounds, it really wasn't. It was a clean hit, but whatever.
Right.
As soon as that defender goes down on the back of his legs, I'm like, get your feet up, right? Just get down. Don't try to run out of that because that's how you get hurt. And they mentioned it on the broadcast. I mean, I don't usually love that broadcast, but they actually had some good points. We're talking about 40-year-old men, like your age, Evan, running around with your kids, and you just fall on the ground. It hurts, man.
Yeah, dude, running hurts me at this point.
Right, but you imagine running and falling on the ground at 40 years old, and then, like, how you feel afterwards?
Yeah.
He's probably sore today just from some of those hits, but that was really the surprise for me, that he was okay running and that he took some hits and he seemed all right.
Let me just tell you, as a 71-year-old man next week, if I fall down, I need a crane to get up. I got to tell you right now. But look, I mean, it was such utter domination. I mean, I look at this offense now. You got these two monsters running the ball. Mm. This kid, Braylon Allen, what a steal in the fourth round he was. I mean, he's tremendous. You know, you got Breece there. It's amazing how Alan Lazard, okay, who was a disaster last year, now that his buddy's back throwing him the football, is a different receiver. You know, you saw Tyler Conklin have a big game last night. Mike Williams got involved with a few catches in the game as well, almost caught that touchdown in the back of the end zone, was close. And on the touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson, you know, he wasn't open at all. And Rodgers, he was going to make sure he got a touchdown last night, and he forced it in there, and you couldn't make a better throw than that.
perfect, right?
It's just amazing. Dude, it really is.
It's. I mean, you tell me with Namath, but there's no quarterback I've watched as a Jets fan that's nearly as good as this guy. It's not even on the same plane.
It was the style of ball. Like some guys would try to throw that ball down low where only he could get it. And if it's defended, it's just going to be knocked down. That ball was like rising. So it was rising away from the defender who was diving away from it. And Garrett just made a great catch and awareness to get both his feet in and the ball across the goal line. So, I mean, that's what you get with Aaron Rodgers. The perfect ball for each throw is thrown. Because he's done it so many times that he knows exactly what to do in those situations.
You know, and when you talk about Namath, I mean, it was such a different game back in the 60s. You know, Joe was looking to throw the ball down the field all the time. You know, he was looking for big plays most of the time. It's not what you see from this guy. Right. You know, and Namath had the quick release too, but it's these quick short passes, you know, second and 16. Oh, let me hit Conklin for 22. You know what I mean? I mean, just finding these guys. I mean, it's unbelievable. We haven't seen quarterback, like you said, we've never seen quarterback play like this.
And you mentioned this. And it was the thing that, you know, the two guys on the other side like to try to bust my balls and all our balls about because they hate the Jets. You know, Sean and Loogie, they're great guys. But they hate
the
Jets.
By the way, Sean, I got a couple bags for you from years gone by if you need them. I got a few bags.
Dude, I might need them. It's a long season, Joe. It's a long season of that number one overall pick.
That's true. And on Monday, they were kind of looking at Rodgers saying, look at the way he moved. He looked old. He looked like a statue. Mm-hmm. And my answer was, you're right, but he may not need to. You know, if this offensive line is going to pass protect for him, he is 40 years old, it's okay. 3.5 days later, Joe, he was moving like it was 5 years ago. I don't want to say 10 years ago, but like 5 years ago. That was probably one of the most encouraging things, that he looked spry. He's moving. He's rushing for a few yards when he needs to. He's buying himself extra time. Like, I was almost surprised to see that that soon after he did look like a statue in week two.
Yeah. Hey, look, he's changed everything. I mean, what else can you say? The only negative, we'll get to the defense in a second. The only negatives last night, Tim, there was too many penalties, especially by the defense. And we saw it again with these near delay of game penalties. I mean, we saw it in the Tennessee game. They burned two penalties in the fourth quarter. Yesterday was in the third quarter that they burned two of those. They got to get that straightened out because, you know, they've been lucky that it hasn't really mattered in these two games. Yeah. But, you know, it's going to come back to bite them if they don't get that straightened out down the road. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's just Nate and Aaron getting used to one another again. I mean, week one was different, but this week felt like they were clicking and they wanted to be perfect. Right? They called the right plays for every situation. And so sometimes you get a little too deep in your playbook. You're like, hey, what are we doing now? And all of a sudden you get down on the play clock and Aaron Rodgers has to call a timeout. But I didn't mind it. Because just like what you said at the end of halftime, or right before the end of the first half, they were so in control. It's a mistake you can make and get away with.
Yeah, with the missed field goal.
Right.
Yeah, there's no question. And here's the thing I love. As far as the defense goes, they were blitzing, bro. This is the first time that I can remember since Sal has been the coach that they blitzed a lot in this game. You saw Chuck Carr blitz a lot, Quincy Williams. I mean, they assaulted Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, yeah.
He had no chance.
And it was
it's what you have to do when you have such a young offensive line.
Right, right.
And we saw right from the beginning, first play of the game, Will McDonald is right in his face. How about Will McDonald?
Unbelievable.
I mean,
maybe it's okay he's wearing Gastineau's number. I don't know, but he's got 5.5 sacks already. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I don't know how you feel. But the better that this team goes, and look, they should beat Denver in a couple of weeks. I think the Minnesota game is going to be a difficult game in London, but they should beat the Broncos and be 3-1 going to London. You know, do we really need Hassan Reddick? I don't know. I don't know if he's ever playing here.
I mean,
do you think he's playing, Teague? I don't know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't think this is going to... It's an impasse that's not going to be solved easily. And so the more I keep hearing about this, it's more trade. It's the trade.
That's unbelievable.
But is that what you're hearing? You're hearing trade, right?
But the challenge with that, Joe, is who's going to want him and then pay him?
Right. That's it.
He's not going to have any value.
He's put himself in a terrible position.
The Jets, like, wherever he goes next, they're going to have the same conversations that he's having with the Jets.
You know what? Like, this past week, obviously, last night, we didn't need him. We never thought about him. It was like he's an afterthought. After Sunday's game, it was like, boy, they could use him, especially after Jermaine Johnson went down. I almost think their best course of action is to just wait, and eventually he's going to have to want to play.
Well, yeah.
He's just going to sit out the entire season. And by the way, him walking through that door week 10, week 11, can't hurt, bro.
Right.
Like, even if he's not on the field for, 50 snaps, it wouldn't hurt to have him. And you have to think eventually he's going to realize, I got to play football. What the hell am I going
to
do?
Yeah. He owes a lot of money to somebody. I mean, he's getting $800,000 a game now in the regular season that he's getting fined with all the money in the preseason.
Well, yeah. Well, the $800,000 is just he's not getting a salary. So it's technically a fine, but he's got all the preseason fine for not reporting. And then I'm sure there's some fine as well in the regular season. But I also, and Sean's looking this up, I feel like there's a date that you have to report.
Is that true? If you don't, the year doesn't count, and you're still under contract next year for the same deal.
Yes.
So is that how it works? So what does he get? He has to come back next year. We deal with the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's a week. So honestly, it's probably going to be whatever week that is, because I don't think they're getting a deal done.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And the other thing, too, from last night, the injury to Morgan Moses. I mean, he did walk off the field, which was a good sign. You know, I thought something. I don't know how you feel about this, Ed, but in the pregame introductions, and obviously Rodgers gets, got the bulk of it.
Of course.
Wilson, Brees. I thought Tyron Smith got one of the biggest ovations of anybody out there. And I'll tell you right now, that this guy, you talk about a guy that's got to stay healthy. This is the best. It's only three games. This is the best left tackle we've seen since the Brickashaw.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt about this. This guy's big time. You talk about a guy that's important to this team that's got to stay healthy, man. That's Tyron Smith.
Well, I think that, and obviously with Morgan out, it looks like Morgan Moses is going to be out for a couple weeks. Luckily, it doesn't seem that severe.
Not season ending.
And you're right about Tyron Smith. I agree. I think Aaron Rodgers clearly got the biggest hand, but I think we as Jet fans realize the importance
of
protecting him.
Yeah.
It, last night with Morgan going down, because when he goes down at first, I couldn't tell who it was. Yeah. So my thought was, holy crap, did Tyron Smith go down?
I knew it wasn't him. Where I was, I could see I could see the number. It wasn't him.
You were sitting in some badass seats, right?
Look, I got to thank Sean Winters and the Winters Bros. He invites me like once a year. I take my grandson. My grandson, he's going to be 11, 12, whatever he is, right? He's 11, he's in sixth grade.
Right.
I've taken him to two games. Mm-hmm. Both of them sitting in the front row, okay, in the coaches' club, no less teak, where you can go in and get all the food you want for nothing.
So he's loving life.
And the two games, he's seen Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on.
Not bad.
Right? I mean, how much better can you do, right?
Now, I'm curious, because now since you were sitting in these really high-end seats, did you have to, be calm throughout the game, or were you allowed to be you?
Oh, I wasn't calm. But you know what? I you know, I was yelling for the defense, and you know, yelling to Aaron. You know, let's go.
Right.
But I mean, it was such a, such a domination in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, this game could have, it was 24-3. It could have been 40-0.
Right.
I was talking to Ira. Just got off the phone with Ira in Staten Island.
Right.
And the last time, and you were at this game too, Ev.
Yep.
The last time that there was a game like this for the Jets where there was not, it was in the bag right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Was the night against the Bengals, the game in Giant Stadium, freezing cold.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the coldest game I've ever been at.
Yep.
And they beat them 41-0, and it was just a party the whole night.
It's funny. I was with the exact same friend who I was with that night.
Is that right? A little nicer weather last night. You know, a little bit.
I know, because the thing he used to tell me about that night is he went to the bathroom and would just hang out because it was the warmest place in the stadium.
How cold was it that night, bro?
Bro, it was brutal, but it was a party, like you said.
And
last night, now maybe it's different because you're with your grandson. I totally get it. I didn't want to leave. I didn't care how late it was. I'm like, I'm enjoying every second of this because it was just one giant ass whooping of a team that's owned us for such a long time. It's like, I couldn't get enough of it. It was amazing.
Yeah, we left with about 4.5 minutes to go. The game was in the bank, in the bag. He was, you know, he was fading at that point.
No, I get that, yeah.
You know, but still. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I sit there, I watch this quarterback, and I'm just amazed at how good he is. It's really incredible.
One thing, though, because we're talking about Morgan Moses going down and Tyron Smith, I think that last night was just a reminder that the drafting of Olu Fashanu was damn important.
Right.
Yep. I know that.
Yeah.
You know, first few weeks, we barely see him, but he is going to be such an important piece on this team because it's impossible to think everyone's going to stay healthy for a full season.
Yeah. And how bad are the Patriots? How did the Patriots beat the Bengals and almost beat Seattle last week, taking them to overtime? I mean, they looked just hideous last night.
I think it was the injuries to the offensive line.
You think
honestly,
that was it?
Because think about it. Like, that game, it felt there was pressure from play one. And Jacoby Brissett ultimately just had no shot.
No shot.
They could, they weren't not that they necessarily have been pushing the ball down the field, but it wasn't even an option because every time he did, he got sacked. So I think honestly, when you have a beat up offensive line and you got a bunch of young players in there, it just gets really hard to function. You just can't do what you did previous seasons. But I think it's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Oh, yeah, really.
Like, he just picked apart the
Patriots. Picked them apart.
Like, no matter what they did, he had an answer. He knew exactly where to put the ball with every single throw that he made. And when you play a great one, sometimes you just get got, and that's what happened.
Yeah. You know, another thing I want to throw in there, and I hate to bring this up, but I didn't even know this happened. I didn't notice until I'm driving home, listening to the post-game show, and then read some of the stuff in the paper today.
Mm-hmm.
What was this thing with Salah and Rodgers on the sideline? I mean, Tiki, you watching the game at home.
Yeah.
Did you even see this?
I didn't see it. I must have left because it happened after the touchdown. So whatever,
right.
Touchdown
after the,
scored,
after the
I get up and go
touchdown,
do something.
It made it 14-0, right?
And then social media is where I found it.
Yeah, it exploded on Twitter.
The Mets chat, actually, I think, sent it.
Yes, that's right.
And so I get this image, and it's just kind of like, is he like not accepting a hug from Robert Saleh?
What was it?
You know, so I think it was more that, first of all, I don't think it's Aaron. That's just not his MO.
Right, right.
And also, I felt like he was saying, the game's not over. Like, chill out. But what he ultimately was saying, and this is what Robert Saleh corroborated.
Both Rodgers and Saleh said this, yes.
Before the game, they said, Aaron, get us 2-touchdown lead. Our defense will take care of everything else. So what I think he said, and this is what we speculated about to start the show, was that's two scores for you. 2-touchdown lead or 2-score lead or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of just like that aggressive, we got you got us type of thing.
Right. Now, Sean thinks it's the end of the world, that Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers hate each other, and that's going to be our doing.
Well, that's what he wants.
No, it's not the end of the world.
No, I know, it's fan fiction. Yeah.
But here's something else, too. And I don't want to mention any of the name. I know a lot of these writers, these guys have been covering the Jets forever, okay? And I'm friends with some of these guys. And let's be honest. Any controversy that they can come up with this team, they're going to find a way to do it. You know, I really believe that. I mean, some of these guys have been covering this team too freaking long, okay? You know, and I don't know if they would really ever want to see him win.
Well,
and I really believe that, bro.
I'll tell you one thing I believe, and I think this is the Knicks. I think the Knicks have this. I think the Jets have this, and the Mets have this. So you have it fully. I have it, you know, 2/3.
Right.
I think that the national media wants to laugh at those teams. They want to say, LOL maybe. Jets. Oh, so Jets. Yeah, right, oh, it's right, and like
same old Jets.
Same old Knicks. They're so stupid. Right, meanwhile, the Knicks are a competent franchise. You just have to deal with it. I'm dealing with it. They are. The Jets look for now to be a competent franchise. Right. And so I think sometimes
and the baseball team, I mean, oh my God, bro.
Yes.
I mean, wait, you know, let's be honest. You and I right now, we're living large.
I know.
Okay, this is large living between the baseball team and the football team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Are you worried about Lindor, by the way, though?
Not the way Acuña's playing. I mean, how about this guy, bro? I mean, I'm looking at this guy every game. He's doing something. He tripled last night. He's hit two homers already. I mean, he's getting big hits all over the place. He's playing shortstop base. He had that one error on that throw that Vientos threw to him. I guess it was in one of the Washington games.
Yeah, but you know what was great about
that?
Didn't
even matter.
He made that error, and I was concerned. Like, I was at the game that night, and I'm like, oh, God, this is where we're going to miss Lindor.
Right.
The very next inning, down 1-0, he ripped up a double.
Yeah,
that kind of yeah, so it was almost like I thought that showed a lot of poise. Makes a big error in a pennant race, responded, had three hits in the game, and like you said, he's hitting the cover off the ball. Looks amazing.
Yeah, he's got to be on his team. I mean, he's here. I mean, we got to find a way. Where's he going to be playing? I don't know. Where's he going to play? I mean, you got to play Iglesias. If Lindor comes back, Iglesias has to play. He's been just too huge for this baseball team.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Acuña's got to play, though.
Well,
where?
I think that right now there are two interesting options. Number one,
Centerfield?
I think you DH somebody because J.D. Martinez is not hitting, and he may lose
that.
He's
not at all hitting.
He may lose that job. Now, I don't know. Here's what I'm curious about with a back. So someone's got to ask Mendy this, really Lindor this. If Lindor comes back, does it benefit him to just DH? Like,
maybe.
You know what?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it's
a good point.
But it may hurt him because I know with a back, like you need to be active.
Yeah.
It may actually hurt him.
Sitting around is not necessarily good for back limberness.
Right. So I got to find out, does it help him? Would it hurt him? If you can't do that, then yes, I think you could consider the outfield. He doesn't have a lot of experience, but it's amazing he's performing this well, Joe, that we're even having this kind of discussion.
I just, mind-boggling. I mean, that trade already, that was for Scherzer, right?
Yep,
wasn't that the... Scherzer. I mean, that trade may turn out to be one of the all-time steals for this team.
Max Scherzer and a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it may work out for everybody because the Rangers won the World Series.
Right.
We got rid of that stiff Max Scherzer, and Acuña looks like a stud in the making. It's
now,
incredible.
How do you feel? Okay, so we got 9 games left. I know we're supposed to talk Jets, but we got to talk about the Mets. 9 games left, tough games, 3 with Philly, the 3 with Atlanta, which are going to be huge, Milwaukee after that. Are we making it or not in your mind?
You know what's crazy? I think it still comes down to can this team exercise the demons in Atlanta? They got to win that series, bro.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. The Mets beat the Phillies last night. Great. Yep. The Braves are about to play the Marlins. Like, we're not getting any freaking help.
Yeah.
But they did lose a game to Cincinnati.
No, they did. You know, and they lost a few to the Dodgers. And that's great. They have this two-game lead. I don't expect any more help this weekend. So they are going to have to go toe-to-toe with the Braves. They got to win that series.
Right.
That's what this whole thing is going to come down to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't disagree with you. I can't. And yeah, maybe Arizona comes back to the pack, too. Now, what they already have.
Well, they are. Arizona is tied with.
They're tied with the Mets.
With the Mets.
And they have a tough weekend because they're playing the Milwaukee Brewers.
Is that who they're playing?
And the Padres are playing the White Sox, so that's not exactly a lot.
But ultimately, when it comes down to it, the Padres and the Diamondbacks have each other.
Yes. So the season
ends. Oh, they play
ends.
Each other as well? Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The end of the season, those last 3 games, it's Diamondbacks-Padres, and the Padres play the Dodgers next week. So after they're done with the White Sox, it stiffens a little
bit. What you need to happen is the Dodgers to take care of the Padres so that they come back even with everybody, and then those two knock each other off.
Right.
In the last, one of them gets knocks the other one off.
And ultimately, the Mets win games.
Yeah.
I mean, just keep winning.
Well, I'll tell you right now, all the guys that were not hitting, I mean, you know, Pete all of a sudden now he's hitting home runs. Nimmo, who had a brutal second half of the year, all of a sudden he looks like he's red hot now. You know, all of a sudden Alvarez, he didn't hit a home run for months. Now he's got like 4 home runs in last 6, 7, 8 games? Something like that. He's hitting home runs now. You got throw Acuña in here with what he's doing. Iglesias has been off the charts. Vientos a big home run last night. And the pitching staff, I mean, that's the biggest thing. The starting rotation. I mean, I know Severino gave up 3 runs and whatever in 6 innings last night. Still, he wasn't bad. I mean, starting rotation has been just unbelievable. Whoever saw this coming?
That's the most stunning part. Like,
no doubt.
I could see how the offense would be good. I could see how the bullpen would be good.
Right.
The starting pitching being as dominant as it's been over the last month and a half is the most stunning thing we've seen. Yeah. But they got to finish the job, man. They got 9 games left. Get it done.
I tell you, and if they can get in, man, I think they can do some damage here because they're playing with. I know you don't like it, but they're playing with house money, man. No, this is as big a house money year as we've ever seen for this franchise.
Oh, this was an evaluation year. I said it for 3 months and turned into, hey, man, we're pretty damn good.
Right. I mean, just think about it. This team, what are they now? They're 85 and 68. So there's 17 games on over 500.
Yep.
They are 28 games over 500 since the end of May.
Remarkable turnaround. Yeah. So what are you more pumped up about? The Jets at 2-1 or the Mets right now?
You know, I'm pumped up for both. I'm very excited for both teams. I'm very tonight we have a live podcast tonight at the Brewing Company tonight with my buddy from the Jets, Jake Asman, who I love. He does a great job. But I don't know if they're going to, because the game's on Apple, right?
Apple TV Plus.
What a disgrace. Here's the last 4 games of the regular season at home, and only one of them is on SNY tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And then if they make the playoffs, that's it. Then we got to deal with the national announcers for the rest of the time. Hey, here's the positive, and I didn't get to hear a lot of it because I'm at the game like you're at the game. We didn't have to hear John Smoltz last night. That's a positive
because
that was a Fox game last night, the Met win.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Even though it was, I guess the Jets were actually on Channel 5.
The Mets were the Fox game, 9. But it got bumped to Channel 9, so the Jets game is a mess. But it was a great, great night. It's a good time, to be a Mets Jets fan. I can't believe we're saying it's a great time to be alive.
We don't get a lot of those, bro. I mean, and you got to enjoy it. Right now, we're enjoying it. But just getting back to the football team, it's all about the health of the quarterback.
Yep.
He's changed everything. If he stays healthy, look, I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say that. But if he stays healthy, to me, there's no way they're not a playoff team. And when you look at the state of the division now with Tua gone, the Patriots are a disaster. You know, it's basically the Jets and the Bills. I mean, I think that's how it's going to come down to. And there's no reason they can't win it.
Absolutely. Joe, have a great weekend, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you after the Denver game. Be well.
You got it. The great Joe Beningo. Every day after a Jet game, he joins us at 4 o'clock. So most times it's a Monday. We actually had a Thursday night game, so he joins us on this Friday. And look, here's what's going to happen, because I could see it in the eyes of Sean and Loogie. Joe said, and I quote, "I didn't say they're going to win the Super Bowl, but, you know, he's very excited about the team."
Right.
The Jet haters will take that as, "Did you hear Beningo? Thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl." He didn't say it. I didn't say it either with my enthusiastic open. We are very excited as sports fans. We are allowed to be excited.
But we
live in a two-team town in all sports, and the other guy, to a T, likes to remind you, you're not as good as you think you are.
That's just
the world we live in.
This is a really weird complex you have. I know that I'm a Giants fan. Loogie's a Giants fan. Tiki's a Giant for life. Anything we say about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets has nothing to do with the Giants. And the idea that we can't focus on both while being Giants fans is insane.
So Monday...
And it's just observing. You know what it's being, Evan?
Just make sure you listen to me. Because I'll tell it like it is.
That's right. He does tell it like it is.
I love Nate Hackett.
And that's all we're being right now is IFOs.
So the IFOs, just to remind you, on Monday after a Jet victory, went out of their way laughing at me to say, your quarterback looks like a statue.
The quarterback moves in slow motion.
That's what Loogie said. Sorry, I cut off the last part. He said motion. Obviously, that was a cold take immediately, because a few days later, Aaron Rodgers looks fine. Now, after dominating the Patriots, they got nothing but... Did you see the video? Aaron hates Robert Saleh.
Hold on. You mean that video that more people viewed than actually watched the game last night?
Stop.
Is that the video? I guarantee you there are more views on that video, that there's something to it, Evan.
No, that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, so nothing to see here. Merely
just
a flesh
wound. Just because something goes viral doesn't mean there's like substance to it.
Evan, just remember.
Come on.
Real Jets fans don't forget this. We are 25 hours removed from making a pick on that game last night. Tiki, you want to remind me who on this show picked the Jets to win a cover?
That would be us.
Yeah, that would be us. And Evan scaredly picked New England yesterday.
I said we went ugly.
You want to remind everybody who gave the Jets the best record prediction on this show?
No, you can't use that.
It was me at 16-1, and we're on pace. So the Jet fans know, the real ones know, you've played scared, and I've believed in this team since July, and I will continue to believe in this team. I am not a hater.
Oh, goodness. We have an update on Francisco Lindor as the Mets continue their 4-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll give it to you. We'll react to it. Evan and Tiki here on this unique football Friday, because we are reacting to the Jet victory and also getting you set for the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns. We'll go more in depth onto that game coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, including make our NFL picks. The Mets continue their homestand. This homestand is off to an incredible start. They swept the Nationals. They won last night. They held on last night. Scored a bunch of runs. Phillies came back. Scored more runs. Phillies came back. And then finally broke the game open late. Luis Angel Acuña, Beningo was talking about earlier. It continues to be awesome. Brandon Nimmo's getting hot. Francisco Alvarez and Pete Alonso are getting hot. And last night, the New York Mets did something they've literally never done, ever, in the history of the franchise. And they did it in the middle of a pennant race, and they did it without their MVP candidate, Francisco Lindor. And the thing I'm talking about is they scored 10 runs in a game for three consecutive games. They had never done that, ever. And the New York Mets, in an offensive slump, which they had been in, the New York Mets without Francisco Lindor, and the New York Mets in a situation where every game is a playoff game, responded with 10 on Tuesday against the Nationals, 10 on Wednesday against the Nationals, and 10 against the Phillies on Thursday. 30 runs in the last three games.
Wow.
They had never done that in the history of the franchise.
Well, I mean, you said the bats needed to wake up. I guess they woke up.
Right now, they're waking up.
It's exactly what you need. Now you just have to continue it.
Bingo.
And it's funny, we were having a conversation about Francisco Lindor and how you use him and, you know, what situation you want to put him in. The thing you worry about, if he ends up being shut down, say, for the rest of the season, because I don't know if we said the report, what the report is.
You want to hear the report?
Yeah. We should tell people the report.
So we'll give you two layers to this. Number one is what Ken Rosenthal said last night. I'm not sure a lot of people heard it because, you know, the flipping around between the Jet game, right, the Met game, and all that. But this is reporting from Ken Rosenthal from last night's broadcast on Francisco Lindor.
Guys, Carlos Mendoza told us before the game that Lindor is not getting worse, but he's not progressing the way they would like. And remember, this is a back injury. Backs are notoriously tricky. So it could be several more days, or this thing could turn quickly if his medication kicks in. They just don't know.
So that's a very ominous report. It's not that, he's done, but the whole he's not making as much progress as they had hoped gets you nervous. Now, Carlos Mendoza has just met the media. Here's what Carlos Mendoza has said about an update on Francisco Lindor. Because again, and this is the thing about backs, and I'm certainly not saying it from my own experience because I am not a major leaguer, but dealing with, as a sports fan, Eduardo Alfonso's back issues, David Wright's back issues, it is such a day-to-day proposition.
Right. It's finicky because some days it'll just release and you'll be fine. Sometimes it just feels still tight and like grippy on you.
Right.
And the last thing you want to do is try to, I'm just going to go work it out and I'll be fine once I get warmed up.
Yeah.
Because then you're probably doing more damage than you are doing good.
Well, and this is why, like, the Mets aren't lying. I know the Mets, you know, we've always had this, the Mets are BSing us. I think backs are very, very tricky. So when Ken says on a Thursday night, he's not making progress, but it hasn't gone backwards, it could be tomorrow, it could be 5 days, that's the truth. Now, Mendy just met the media. Here's Carlos Mendoza talking about the latest with Francisco Lindor.
Carlos, what's the latest you can give us on Francisco?
Feeling better today, to a point where he's going to go outside, he's going to move around, do some running, he's going to play catch, and if he feels good, he's going to progress to baseball activities today, so that's a good sign.
Whenever he tells you he's good to go, and obviously that's in concert with the, you know, performance staff, when he says good to go, under normal circumstances, do you give him a day after that just to be sure, assuming you don't have that luxury now, or would you in fact be of a mind that if he says, I think I'm okay to go, take one more day?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think if we were in May, maybe we'll give him an extra day. He's a couple of days of him running the bases and going through. But the thing with him is he knows himself better than anybody. And when he can't go, he's going to let us know. And if he feels like he's good enough to help the team and not put himself in a position where he's in danger of risking or injuring something else, he's not going to go and play. So we trust him. And if he says, I'm good to go whenever, he'll be in the lineup playing shortstop and leading off.
So is it plausible then to think that if he progresses to baseball activities on one given day, that he might be a player for you the very next day?
100%.
Wow. So that means if things go well today, he could technically play tomorrow.
Yes. Well, you saw it a little bit yesterday because we were watching him warming up, taking I don't know. He was just running around in the outfield.
Yeah, which I guess he's in baseball activities because today is baseball activities.
Yeah, it didn't look like baseball. You know, I do feel like he was throwing the ball, but he wasn't taking any swings. We didn't see him doing any of that stuff. But if it's not like he's laid up on a bed and I can't move, my back is locked up, something's seriously wrong. It's not that at all. It's just it feels off, I'm assuming, and he's being medicated like you with a muscle relaxer, maybe even some anti-inflammatories that'll hopefully de-escalate whatever the issue is. And as soon as he feels better, you go back out there again. But the last thing you want to do is rush him back and then create something that lasts and pushed into the playoffs. The challenge, though, is that the other thing you don't want to do is have him sit for 9 more days or 10 days, whatever it is. I think there's an off day, right?
There is an off day coming up on Monday.
So 10 days. You don't want to sit for 10 days and then, all right, playoffs, let's go.
Right.
It's just, and now you don't know what he's going to be. He could be, you know, hot Francisco Lindor from June through now, or he could be cold Francisco Lindor from the start of the season. It's just, it gets dicey with that decision-making process.
Yeah, it's the best thing that's happened is that they're winning. Mm-hmm. And his fill-in has been awesome.
Right.
Because think about the alternate universe of Luis Angel Acuña looking like a rookie, the Mets not scoring 10 runs a game, and the Mets dropping back into a tie with the Atlanta Braves going into this game tonight. I think the attitude would be, Francisco, you're getting paid a lot of freaking money.
Suck it up.
Roll your ass out there on the field and do whatever. But I think that the Mets have been offered this opportunity where they're continuing to play well. And I've said that to you guys for the last couple of days, that my attitude would be, as long as they're winning, give them another day. Because that can't hurt. Like, I understand what you're saying about you don't have to be rusty. My biggest thing is you want his back to be as strong as humanly possible. And so if he does baseball activities today, Howie asked the question. And I think that's Howie basically saying, here's the question. This is also my opinion. I'm kind of with him.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, to quote the great Brian Daboll. But I'd probably give him an extra day.
None of us are doctors, but I think we also don't know what the issue is. It's not like he has I'm trying to think of a baseball injury that has a finite time, like a recovery timeline. You know what I mean? So it's not like he has a hamstring strain or oblique. I would say oblique, but nobody knows what the hell that is. That's the wrong one. But like, there's not a clearly defined usual timeline for a back. Like, sometimes it's quick, sometimes it takes forever.
No, we've seen it, man. So sometimes it ruins a career, as David Wright.
Right.
I hate to bring that up, but I think every Met fan's thought about that over the last couple of days. It's scary.
Right.
It's scary stuff, but it's a credit to this team that without him, a guy that's carried them for months, that other guys, specifically the guys that have been slumping for so long, like Brandon Nimmo, like Francisco Alvarez. I don't want to say Alonso's been slumping for so long, but Alonso was kind of needed to step it up. That these guys are stepping up to where they've scored 30 runs in the last three games against the Nationals and the Phillies, and they got to keep it going. Now, here's the math on this whole thing, because I do want to bring it back to something that we talked about literally a month ago, 2 months ago. I said to you guys, man, I'd sign up to be a game back of Atlanta going into that three-game series. Mm-hmm. I said, I would sign up for that. Lugi said no, and then eventually you came around, because I think eventually you're like, at this point I would. I think the Mets had fallen to like 2 or 3 games back. Here's the great news. If somehow things went horribly wrong this weekend and things went incredibly well with Atlanta, like worst case scenario, the Mets lose 3 straight to the Phillies. God hope that doesn't happen. And the Braves win 3 straight against the Marlins. They'd go into the series a game back.
Right.
They'd still have everything right in front of them. They need to beat the Braves, obviously, which I think they're going to have to do anyway.
Right.
Like, I really believe, I don't know what the Mets are going to do these next 3 games. Hopefully they can win 2 out of 3. But I don't think Atlanta's going to offer them much help. And so I think even if they go in up 2 games, which I think is the best case scenario, I can't see them being up 3 games. Are they going to really be more productive this weekend against Philly than Atlanta is against Miami?
Yeah.
It's baseball. Yeah. Anything can happen. Of course, I don't expect it. It's going to come down to, can they beat the Braves in this 3-game series? Can they do it?
Yeah.
Can they beat that freaking team?
Yeah, and if they continue to beat the Phillies like they did last night, it just makes you feel a lot more, less anxious going into the Braves series.
Well, they're certainly earning a lot of confidence.
Of course they are.
Because of what they have done all season long. They have responded all season long. And what Luis Angel Acuña is doing right now, that's a reminder. We've said this about Yankee prospects, Met prospects. Sometimes you call up a prospect, don't get nuts about what their AAA numbers are, sometimes they could just spark you. Luis Angel Acuña did not have impressive numbers at AAA.
No. And well, he was hurt for a lot of it, right?
No, he missed. No, I don't think he missed that much time. Jet Williams was banged up. Drew Gilbert was banged up. Both of those guys are back right now playing in the minor leagues. They're not big factors. But Mendy was asked about that, and he's like, yeah, sometimes guys get bored down there. Which I've heard before about young players. That was said about Matt Harvey.
Well, it's interesting. Was he saying that specifically about Acuña?
Well, I think it was in general that some. How do you explain?
Because you usually don't hear that.
How do you explain a guy putting up very pedestrian numbers at AAA and then coming up and facing better competition and being awesome? How do you explain it?
Better pitchers in minor leagues?
They're not. Well, we know that's not true. All right. So what are the Mets going to do this weekend against the Phillies? No, here's the question. How many games up or even or behind will they be going into Monday?
I think it's the same.
You think they're the same?
Right now. The same as right now.
Okay.
Two games up on Atlanta going into the Atlanta series.
By the way, if that is the case, that would put them in a very similar position to 2022, where all they'd have to do is win a game. Because if you go into that series up
to 2022 was different. 2022 felt like...
Well, you had a safety net.
Yeah, because you were fighting to win the division.
Right, but if you didn't, you were still going to make the playoffs.
Exactly. So there's a safety net, but it also felt like, I don't know, more intense even than this. Like, this is intense because if you lose the series, the rest of this series... to the Phillies, and then you lose to the Braves that series. Say you get swept. It's like you're done, right? I mean, maybe a miracle will happen and the Padres or the Diamondbacks, one of them will find their way out and you sneak your way in. But in 2022, it felt like we're just trying to win a division.
Right.
But it was so like over the top, try to win your division and end up hurting you in the long run. This is more urgent.
No, this is 10 times more urgent because they got to make the playoffs.
They have to make the playoffs.
This season's been great, fun, exciting. Every word you want, they got to make the playoffs. So you think when we're sitting here on Monday, the Mets are up two. Into the three-game series against Atlanta.
Up 2 with 3 to go with Atlanta.
Which would put them in a spot where all they got to do is win a game and they'd leave the series up a game. They wouldn't have the tiebreaker.
That's correct.
Sean Morash.
I can't just be different to be different. I'm with Tiki. They're going to be 2 games up heading into the series.
I'd be ecstatic. Is Lugie going to say the Mets are 5 up? That'd be amazing.
Well,
Braves are going to get swept.
I just can't trust the Braves. I mean, if the Braves were playing someone who like really cared at this point and they were playing someone who really doesn't care at this point.
Yes. It could be different.
I could say maybe it'll be 3 or 4. Right. It's not going to be.
All right. What do you think, Luke?
Mets will be 5 games up.
And I
get Mets Braves. It's sexy to talk about. They're also tied with the Diamondbacks.
The Miami Marlins are going to sweep the Braves?
That's what he said.
The Marlins were just embarrassed by what the Dodgers put on last night. Basically ran the score up on them. You're going to get a spunky Marlins team here. Last week of the season, this is the time to give us a maximum effort. And I don't have to remind Met fans, we know when the Marlins are out of it, doesn't really mean they're out of it. They still get up for these games.
Yeah, they get up to beat us. Not help us.
Enough with the Braves. I mean, we're putting them on this pedestal.
So what you're saying is, and by the way, you're right to an extent that we're making it about the Braves, but the Diamondbacks and the Mets are tied right now. I think the reason it's about the Braves is because of the head-to-head matchup that's coming up next week where the Braves could sweep the Mets and change everything about the standings.
And you want to keep that Diamondback thing in like your back pocket.
Yeah, it's a back pocket thing.
It's a back pocket
because
thing.
The truth is the difference between the third wild card and the second wild card is negligent. Like they're really... Now, the first wild card is obviously very different because you get home field advantage, but the second and third doesn't make much of a difference. But you think the Mets are going into Atlanta playing basically a meaningless 3-game series, needing to win one game, and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, Evan meant negligible.
What did I say?
What'd he say?
He said negligent.
Kind of means the same thing, right?
Not really.
Okay.
By the way, walk-off win Sunday night for the Mets at the end of the weekend.
Really?
Win tonight, lose tomorrow, walk-off win Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the ultra-negative stuff because... Like, it's not negative, it's that I don't think they're going to sweep the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
And I don't think they're getting help from Miami, so I think they're going to lose ground. I disagree with both of you that they're going to go in 2 up. Obviously, Lugie's on another planet. So I think we're going in tied. I really do. I think the Marlins are going to get swept. I think we're probably going to lose 2 out of 3, facing Zach Wheeler on Sunday night.
Who are we facing tonight and tomorrow? Because I heard about Taijuan Walker last night. We're not facing great pitching
Christopher Sanchez tonight. He's
okay.
Good.
He's solid. Okay. I'd say he's solid. Mm-hmm. But the Mets bats right now are going to have to be...
And if I'm not mistaken, Ranger Suarez on Saturday.
Like, okay. But they're facing... They're facing our lineup that's put up 10 runs a game over the last year.
No, I understand.
They got to get us out,
too. I see Mets 2-3. I see Braves 2-3.
I get that.
That's what I see.
I respect that, but I guess the issue is, Luke, you presented that as who are the Phillies starting as if I'm going to name numbskulls, and the truth is Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez, and Zach Wheeler are all very good. Like, literally very good. Okay. They're backed up by how well they pitched this season.
They're also locked in as the top seed.
They're not locked in as the top seed. They're
close to it. I mean, what are they?
No, they're tied with the Dodgers. They're tied for the top seed. Now, they're three games up on getting a first-round bye,
right?
But they got to clinch the division. If somehow
There's no way the Mets... They're not close enough.
I didn't say that, but if the Mets swept the Phillies... If the Mets swept the Phillies, it would go down to three games in the NL East. And while I still don't think the Mets would come back, that makes you sweat. Like, who the hell wants to deal with that?
Oh, yeah, six games in the win column...
It's six overall.
Six, yeah.
So I think the Phillies feel that heat of let's get a game. Let's make sure we can do that.
Right.
For the Phillies, by the way, to clinch this weekend.
Which is what I said, 2-3.
You said two or three.
They'll get that one.
Okay. I think for the Phillies to clinch the division this weekend, they need to win twice against the Mets. For the Phillies to just clinch a playoff spot, they only need to win once, for those that care about that. But I think we're going to lose 2 out of 3 the Mets. Mm. I think the Braves are going to sweep.
Why are you hating on your own team?
What was that?
Why are you hating on your own team?
It's not hate, bro. Come on. It's not hating. It's just I'm giving you an honest opinion.
No, you're
I think we're going into Atlanta
tied. You're saying, really?
Yeah.
They just scored 10 runs on them last night.
Doesn't mean
anything. They have the same run differential. In fact, a better run differential, right? Or a run scored.
They've scored one more run than the Philadelphia.
I don't know what the run differential is, but they've scored a ton of runs. As of late, you just mentioned it. They've scored 10 in their last three games. Granted, it wasn't all against the Phillies, but one of them was. And now you're like taking the negative side of it because it's guarding against over optimism.
I just don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're sweeping the Philadelphia Phillies.
I'm not saying they're sweeping Phillies, but so 2 out of 3 of the remaining three. That's a big deal.
I think I said a week ago a split against the Philadelphia Phillies. That's exactly what I think is going to happen.
Okay,
if they lose 2 out of 3. That means they split against the Philadelphia Phillies. Do you think what I said is more ridiculous than Loogie saying the Marlins are going to sweep the Braves?
No, I mean,
and the Mets are going to sweep the Phillies.
Loogie's delusional, but that's okay.
Positive, Tommy. By the way, when you told me I overrated the Mariners pitchers, remember you got all on me. Off the air. You're overrating the Phillies guys, too. Their ERAs are pretty much the same as those Mariners pitchers.
This has nothing to do... Well, first of all...
So you're quivering in fear.
That comparison has nothing to do with it. Zach Wheeler's a Cy Young candidate.
I love Zach Wheeler.
Don't love Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
No Met fan loves him.
I love the guy.
We're pissed off that the Wilpons let him go.
Exactly. So I have no law against him.
He's the ace of the Phillies.
I like the guy because, you know, it wasn't his fault that he left.
Do you know what the topic on Philly Sports Talk Radio was yesterday? I swear to God. Is Zach Wheeler the greatest Philly pitcher ever? Is he a part of, like, the pantheon of Steve Carlton? That's what Zach Wheeler is. Mm-hmm. So wipe those freaking words out of your mouth that you love Zach Wheeler.
Tommy is all about putting positive vibes in
the
atmosphere.
That's not positive. That's positive for the Phillies.
You basically made Christopher Sanchez and Ranger Suarez out to be the greatest pitchers in the history of the Phillies.
Good.
They're 3-something ERAs, and they're facing a red-hot lineup.
Yeah, they're good pitchers. I didn't say they're winning the Cy Young. Zach Wheeler may. The other ones are good pitchers. They're solid arms. Christopher Sanchez is good. Now, hopefully the Mets can keep this up. But I'm just being honest.
Are you ready to stand up here and say the Mets are making the postseason?
I am not saying
that. You don't want to do that?
You know when I'll say that? When they make the playoffs.
Oh, see, that you can't do.
Why?
But then that's boring.
Exactly.
Why is that boring?
Because you're a coward.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a coward?
That's cowardly.
You didn't believe in the Jets last night. You don't believe in the Mets today. And it's honestly, it's depressing and unfair to the Met and Jet fan. Uplift them. Be a man.
Be a man, Hulk Hogan.
Tiki, they're bullying me right now. You feel that bulliness in the air?
Sounds like it.
Brendan is calling from Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Brendan?
Guys, the division is 100% on the table. If they can win these next three games, listen, hear me out.
Okay.
If they can win these next three games, they'd be three back, and there's six games to play. They'd have to make up three games in 6 days, and they would have the tiebreaker over the Phillies.
Do you know who the Phillies end the season with by chance?
I don't. I don't really care.
Well, but you have to care! Yeah, you can't tell me three back with... Let's say you're right, the Mets sweep the Phillies. Let's say the Mets continue this, Tiki. They sweep the crap out of the Phillies. They bomb Christopher Sanchez. They bomb Ranger Suarez. They make Zach Wheeler regret the day he left New York. Let's say that happens, and they're 3 out with 6 to go.
Okay.
Then you have to care who the Phillies are playing because you got to make up 3 more games. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you so that if you're at a bar tonight with your friends and you're trying to sell them on how the Mets are going to win the NL East, at least you'll have the information to back it up.
Okay.
The Philadelphia Phillies have a 6-game homestand to close out the regular season against the Chicago Cubs, who are about 500, fine, and the Washington Nationals.
Mm.
So stop with this. It's not realistic. And quite frankly, I'm not even thinking about that. Win enough games so you can make the postseason. And get Philadelphia later. Because trust me, I told you that. I'm dreaming of a chance to play Philadelphia.
And they're not going anywhere.
What do you mean?
Meaning they're going to be in the postseason.
Who?
Philly.
Oh, okay, yes. I thought you were trying to like jinx the Mets again.
No.
No, he's calm.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.